Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need, whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding. We always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life, really my fashion the most, but of course home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Hill Squad.
I like to say that hair is a woman's best accessory. And thanks to my friends at Way, they make it possible to have good hair days every day. Let me tell you, Way's hair oil has become a game changer in my hair care routine. So if you're ready to have good hair days every single day, you got to check out Way. Head over to The Way, theouai.com to check out their products. And here's a little treat for you guys. Use the promo code Heel Squad for 15% off your purchase. Yep, The Way, theouai.com, promo code Heel Squad for 15% off.
I'm on a journey to get better, and I want to do it with you. And I'm not just focusing on physical health. I'm focusing on everything: emotional wellness, spirituality, finances, relationships, and so much more. Every week, it will be my personal goal to bring us, the world's leading healers, experts, and game changers, to share groundbreaking secrets and tips to getting better in all areas of life. Getting better isn't easy, but it's a whole lot easier when we can do it together. Welcome to Better Together with me, Maria Menounos.
Hello, Heel Squad community. It's Better Together with Maria Menounos, but of course I am not Maria Menounos. On this Monday, March 1st, we'll start out with the quote of the day. Kelsey, I guess I'll read it.
Right? You got it, Kev.
Much of our anxiety and stress comes when we're focused on fear and disconnected from the voice of our inner guide. That, of course, comes from Gabrielle Bernstein, who is a world-class healer and also a dear friend, and is going to be co-hosting the show with me tonight, stepping in bravely for Maria. We'll do our Good News Monday because I know that's what you're used to, and then we'll do a little update on what is going on with Maria, and then we'll Gabby's going to heal us all.
That's right, she is. I can't wait.
All right, to this good news, I could use some, Kelsey.
Okay, well, I had to just stop our music abruptly, Kev, because I have to get our Good News Movement
drop
music.
Good News Monday.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff,
for that. So, you guys, we have the cutest good news today. Let me pull it up for you guys on the screen. So, it is about... It's the cutest. Okay, so Jason Smith is a principal of Stony Brook Intermediate and Middle School, and he responded with empathy when an eighth grader was sent to his office. The student was refusing to take off his hat and attend class, and it turns out it was because he was embarrassed of his haircut. So the principal responded by asking him if he'd go back to class if he brought his clippers and edgers from home to fix his haircut. The deal was agreed upon by both parties, and the principal did just that, fixed his haircut. And so he downplayed the gesture by saying it was part of his goal to bring solutions to problems instead of creating more problems, and that he did just that. So I thought that was the sweetest story ever.
Now we have to bring in Gabby.
I love that. Yeah, I'm like sitting here chomping at the bit. Wait, that guy's channeling me.
Right?
I'm all about finding creative solutions.
Yep.
So, can I be the devil's advocate? Because I was playing this through in my brain, and I think of the 20th century way I was raised, where I was just shy of the nun that would take the hat off and smack you in the back of the head with a ruler. Right. But they would be like, no, deal with it. But And part of me is like, well, you know, that's life and it prepares you in a different way. But then part of me was like, you know, what really good came out of being like that? Just saying, go out and be humiliated. I mean, I guess it makes you tough for later. But as I reason it out of my brain, and as you guys bring me into the 21st century, Gabby, you and Maria and Kelsey, I go, I like that. I mean, first of all, I love it as far as it's very sweet. Yeah. But I guess it is the healthy thing to do, right?
Yeah, it's definitely the healthy thing to do, particularly with a kid, because kids from the age of 7 to 25, their brains are still developing. Or 0 to 25. And so everything is very, their brains are like sponges. So everything is imprinting. And the moment of humiliation of I have to go back to class and being forced to go back with a haircut that I'm embarrassed by could actually be that simple moment that you might sit here from your upbringing with the nuns and say, oh, tough love, you know, let it go, get over it.
Yeah, no, it shattered me. It was awful.
Okay, exactly. There you go. It shattered you. It was awful.
It was terrible.
Use your own words. You know.
Yes.
It's shattering. It's awful. And it's those simple moments in time that can actually greatly affect the human's future. And I don't want to say that we have to protect our children from every small thing, because you're right. You're right, Kev, that people have to have difficult experiences. But what he did that was so beautiful was that he taught him to seek solutions rather than problems. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful lesson in resilience, that something's not working. What's the solution rather than the problem?
Yeah. And he didn't just give him his way. And the kid gets to see that an authoritarian can be empathetic.
Yeah.
And not.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yep.
And not a villain. Yeah. I think it's beautiful. And I love hearing that. That encourages me to, you know, when I did teach and I taught special ed, that's what I would do. Mm-hmm. I drove them places. I I did everything I could for my kids. But, yeah. But I, looking back now, I'm like, God, was that right? You know, thank you. That was amazing.
I think that it's all about, look, discipline doesn't have to be dramatic, and we don't have to, I think all humans deserve compassion, and doesn't mean that we won't go through difficult moments, but if we can go through them with a sense of security and compassion and that we're being seen in those moments, that will create a resilient human.
Wow.
And so, you know.
Okay, speaking of resilient humans, great transition. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talking about my beautiful wife, Maria. You know, a lot of it is Maria's story to tell, and she will. But Maria, you know, it's funny, Gabby, Maria and I, we operate a lot like in our life, we're moving that football down the field. And as I've always said, there's a skill set to get it there the first 80 yards, and then there's a skill set for that last 20. So, you know, on a show like this, it's mostly female audience. It's probably going over people's heads. But I usually do that 80 yards. Like, I do the grunt work and this and that. And then Maria fine-tunes and does the 20. And most of the things that we do. So she had to go back west, for some very important stuff, knowing that I had everything under control here with Mom and Dad and the show. The plan was she was going to do the show back there. And she did one episode, right, Kelsey, from back there?
Yeah, she did a couple, actually.
She did a couple. Mm-hmm. And then there was, she was getting increasingly sad and then tired. And then there was one day she was getting a doctor's appointment or some appointment. She didn't even know where she was. And that's only happened one other time, when she was like at one job that was the most toxic, psychotic work environment, I think, in the history of Hollywood. I can say, don't worry about it, I'll handle everything, whatever. And that's usually what I say. And I'll clean up all the messes, don't worry. But thank God. Did she reach out to you, Gabby?
She reached out to you. She texted me. And it was beautiful, because she texted me and I said, oh, because I had a call. It was, I think it was a weekday. I don't remember exactly. Yeah, it was. I had a call scheduled and she said, can you talk right now? And I said, well, I can talk in four.
When you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom, for a while now, as you know, I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs, and everything in between, but it's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it.
40 minutes. She said, well, I have to do a show then. I said, and I could sense, you know, and you know, you know, and you know.
Yeah.
She's not, she doesn't always say like, can you talk right now? And so I pretty much said, okay, let me change my call. Got on the phone with Maria and we had a beautiful opening, an opening for a spiritual adjustment and a emotional adjustment and a break, because we all know Maria, she's been extremely vulnerable and authentic and forthcoming with what she's going through with her mom, with the show, with life, with, and with all of the experiences that she's had as a human. And what she's now offering all of us is a extremely beautiful divine power of example, which is a human recognizing themselves at the verge of burnout and saying, I need help. And when we have that slight willingness to get help, that's when the miracles start to set in.
Wow. And so Gabby, Gabby called me and said, we need some kind of intervention here. For this. And, you know, I will tell you as, you know, someone who's next to her, you know, Maria, worries about everyone. And when I say everyone, I mean it. The middle of the night, she'll wake up and, you know, and I'll go, and I'm always up because I don't sleep a lot. So I'll be like, what's the matter? And this one needs that, or we have to make sure we tell this one this, or, and since November with the both parents in different hospitals with COVID, Maria had two of the phones set up with FaceTimes at both hospitals. And literally there was one time where she'll mute one and tell the doctors, he's type 1 diabetic. He can't have that. Please, like, he'll die. Then she mutes and, oh, shit, they're feeding the mother, you know, the wrong thing, or they're not putting on her Optune correctly to keep her alive. And it has been, it's always been around the clock, around the clock, around the clock with her. And no matter what I've done to say, please just stop. She just keeps going. Her dad's the same way. But since November, it has been endless. And, you know, my mother was a lot like her in the sense, so much anxiety, so much stress, worried about everyone and everything. And I was just telling you guys before we went on the air, Lady Gaga's dogs got stolen, and it's a horrific video. And if you are you have any humanity in your heart, forget being a dog lover. It was awful to see. Maria was devastated, but she immediately said to me, I can find the dogs and I know they're downtown LA. And I said, Maria, please. And this is like after she talked to you, Gabby.
Oh, we'd already intervened.
Yeah. And then, you know, just even today is, you know, she's sitting with Max and patting him. And the one caretaker I have here was going out, and he was like, oh, make sure you tell her that there's deers that jump in the middle of the road in Connecticut, and she's going to, you know, to be really careful. So, cause I don't want her to, you know, I don't want her to get scared. And I said, Maria, like, so Gabby, I've seen this with my mother. I've seen it with many women. My two cousins, females who were really my sisters, same thing, always stressed and just worried. And no matter how good life is, they're always worried and stressed out. So I feel like, this is plaguing everybody. And now with COVID, it's in the pandemic, it must be times 10. And I kind of have to turn the mic over to you because I just want to know what we can do for tools to deal with this.
I'm so glad that we're here talking about this. First and foremost, I'm so grateful that our dear Maria had the bravery and the willingness to ask for help and to take it. So that's not, that's step one for everyone listening, because when you live in that chronic state of hypervigilance, which is what you're describing, and your mother and Maria, and I'm in recovery from that myself, which is why I'm so grateful to be able to talk about this today. And it's a privilege to be able to help her, but also help anyone who is bottoming out from anxiety and stress, because that was my past and my history. That when you live in that chronic state of hypervigilance, what happens to us is that we begin to, there's the physical side, right? Which is that you're not sleeping anymore, your back pain, headaches, whatever the psychosomatic symptoms are going to be, which is inevitable, because the physical symptoms are merely a form of dissociating from the emotional distress.
And a lot of young women not getting their periods. Like, I didn't even know this was a thing. And I have three friends who are like, I haven't had a period in 3 years. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm. All stress related. All stress related. Infertility, lack of sex drive, and this goes for men and women, but we can, you know, speak specifically to some of the symptoms that women will have: hair loss, weight loss, weight gain. It's stress is an epidemic. If it's not addressed, it can become life-threatening at times. And that was the case for me. When you get to the place of extreme burnout, you can feel like you're falling apart. So,
I mean, Maria got a tumor, and you know, I mean, and I said to Maria today, and she's like, wow, it was kind of a bomb. I said, Maria, I if we don't get this under control, I'm nervous about 50 for you and petrified over 60, because I think at some point it's going to take you. And I'm like, I can't do this alone. Like, life, like, I'm the old one. I get to go first, you know? And I think 100% the ramifications will manifest physically. And what I think even more than it is obviously stress, Gab, but can we also specifically address the worrying? Like, I just worrying about everything around us.
There's the worry and there's the stress, but let's talk about the root cause condition of both, right?
Okay.
Because worry and stress and anxiety are trauma responses. They are the nervous system's hypervigilant response to not feeling safe. When I say trauma, trauma with a big T, trauma with a little T. Okay. So trauma with a big T, you know, rape or sexual abuse as a child, or not being cared for properly, not feeling secure as a child. Whereas trauma with a small T could be, not that this is a small thing, but, you know, a car accident or a one-time incident, still traumatic, or a loss of a loved one trauma. These are still big and significant things, but they may not have been chronic. But no matter what, we've all experienced traumatic events, and every single person listening or watching right now has lived through a trauma, which was 2020 and is currently still living through it, called COVID-19. So we've all lived with these moments of traumatic episodes, and then now all of it being spiked up, hit up, brought up during this pandemic. So when we have those energetic disturbances that have been, frankly, just planted in our life as children, it's in those early developmental years. That's why we were talking about the kid. I was so grateful for this teacher, because that could have been a trauma with a small T, the kid that went back to the classroom forced to take his hat off and feeling humiliated, could have been a trauma with a small T that could have affected him and put him into a state of hypervigilance every single time he had to get up on a stage or go into an interview or do anything public. It could have literally led to that. So we all have these developmental moments in time, some severe, some less severe, but they all impact our nervous system. And when we live in a chronic state of stress or hypervigilance or anxiety or worrying to try to fix, ultimately what that is a trauma response. And so I know the word trauma is a word that's triggering for people. So I'm going to just really boil it down, simplify it. And that's why I really want to emphasize that it's the big T and the small T trauma.
To Gabby, one second before you go, can continue. What was in your, do you mind saying what was in your childhood that?
Totally.
Because I know here's what I want to demystify, because I know when you look at Maria, you say, she's beautiful, she's wealthy, she has us, Kelsey and I and the dad, and we're helping, you know, but I feel like this is a universal problem with Maria. It was from 3 years old, she was the only one who spoke English. So she had whether it was a bill collector, anything. And by the way, there were bill collectors coming. They didn't have money. Maria had to handle everything. Then the father's sugar, constantly trying to keep him alive. It just never stopped. So that was Maria. And I think that's, people understand that. What was in your childhood?
Before I tell mine, I just want to unpack, thank you, Maria, wherever you are right now, relaxing, for letting us use you as a power of example for everybody. Because to just look just right now, Kevin, what you said, 3 years old, talking to the bill, the people coming to try to pay the bills. It's a life survival mechanism at such a young age, yeah, when your expectation and need fundamentally is to feel secure, but then you have to take on the burden of the adults because you're the capable one. Hello, look at where we're at right now, right? Consistently living in this fight flight response of living a life of caring for and keeping alive and keeping safe. And it's the little three-year-old, literally right now we're talking about the three-year-old. So we don't need to get too deeply into her therapy, because she can do that on her own with you and all of the love that's around her. But it's a beautiful power of example to identify and recognize that those experiences from such a young age continue to be repurposed, replayed, and manifested in the present moment. And so for me, thank you for asking. And I may have shared a bit about this originally when I first came on the show, and I don't remember, but I've been very open about it. I lived in a state of anxiety from when I was very young, really, you know, very young, until about 2 years ago. And I laugh because, you know, and I want you to hear this, Kevin, because I want to give you hope for what you're seeing here, and just really see that there's recovery in front of you. And I did a lot, even in that state of anxiety, much like Maria. I wrote 7 books or 8 books at that time. I had just created a career that had been in the service of so many people. I was really just a real producer, really creating in the world, but living in my own nightmare. Because I was had terrible gastrointestinal issues. And these are all some of the physical symptoms of stress, of chronic stress. Major issues, gastro issues. I had sleep issues. I was constantly triggered, going in. You know, I was probably very difficult to work for. While I was always loving and kind to my team, I could be, you know, fly off the handle in a second, like easily triggered. Everything was just like, oh my God.
All right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days, and I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor, and it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios, and then I got addicted, and now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use, where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're going to love them.
What's going on now? And this constant state of alert, alert, alert. Really, I understood for the last 6 years exactly why, because up until the age of 36, I didn't know why. I was just in this constant state of trying to hold everything in control and be holding it all together. But when I was 36, I actually had a dream of being sexually abused as a child, and I woke up and I remembered it. And then a few days later in my therapy, I was starting to talk about it and then actually fully remembered the experience. And that's a very common thing for children who have been sexually abused or abused in any form to dissociate. People in general can easily, the brain is a powerful thing, and it can have we have the ability to check out, which is the only way we can survive in those moments. And so we literally turn off that memory, but it doesn't actually go away. So in my case, I relived that trauma over and over again. Every single time I felt out of control, every single time I felt like I wasn't being taken care of, every single time I felt like I had to do it all myself. Everything was this constant state of fight flight because I was reliving that unresolved traumatic event. Wow. And that was the root cause for me.
And that makes so much sense. Even like a lot of other females I know react like that. That's why. And so when with Maria, she also had to deal with a lot of violence. And it wasn't, thank God, sexual, at least we don't think, but violence. And now this really makes so much sense. And when I see it in other people too, you know, so when, go ahead, continue.
Keep interrupting me, keep weighing in, because I think that one, it's just really valuable for everyone listening to also hear your side of the story, Kev, because you have another part in this, which is you're the caretaker too, right? And you're talking about your own stuff, which is your mom's story and your aunts and your cousins and now your wife, right? So it's, we all have these, you probably grew up with stressed out mom. And so I care for her. I'm just guessing, but I'm in the pursuit of caring for her. And now here you are in the pursuit of caring for Maria, right? So it's just, it's your response as well. So we all have it. Everyone has different stories and everyone has different experiences from their childhood, but we all suffer and we've all had suffering in our life. And that suffering manifests often in the form of anxiety or hypervigilance, or in some cases, addiction to saving people, addiction to worry, addiction to drugs, addiction to alcohol, all the different ways that we try to numb out and stay sane and stay safe. But for today's conversation, let's talk about the addiction to anxiety, the perpetual repetition of anxiety. And what I have experienced, and just to wrap my story here, is that the way out for me really started when I first remembered the trauma. And I started to deepen my therapy and do therapeutic practices that you've already begun to, you guys have featured on this show, so people can go back and listen, but EMDR with Tammy Villacenti, who you've interviewed, and somatic experiencing therapy. Right now I'm naming incredible trauma healing therapies just so that the listeners and viewers can go check these things out. IFS, internal family systems therapy, which is extraordinary. Tapping, which, by the way, we can do some tapping today for anxiety, so we can really give people the experience of regulating their anxiety. All of these different modalities I've been practicing in a devotional way. I'm talking like three times a week for the past 6 years, but it was 2 years ago where I hit a radical bottom, which was when I was gifted, I'm going to say gifted, postpartum anxiety, which is also a form of postpartum depression. And for me, that often women with a trauma history do get triggered into PPA or PPD. It's not uncommon, but it's also a biochemical thing that I was already predisposed for because I was already an anxious person. So then here it was, this magnified anxiety. And that, I say it was a gift because for me, it was life or death, Kev. That was a big bottom for me. Mother's Day, the first few months of my son's life, I said I wanted to kill myself. And there I was at the time. I'd written 7 self-help books and I was a spiritual teacher and I was in the deepest, darkest depression. And for me, I'm very, very vocal about this. I resisted psychiatric support for 4 months and had insomnia for that entire time, didn't sleep at all. And then finally my therapist intervened and said, we need to get you psychiatric help. And at that point I went on a antidepressant, which saved my life. And it was and it helped with all my anxiety. I was able to get back to sleep. But the most important thing I want to say about this is that it gave me a baseline of safety that I'd never known before. And in that place of safety, I was able to dive far deeper into the therapeutic practices.
Can I ask what the antidepressant was?
Yes, I went on Zoloft.
Zoloft, okay. And what I like about this is it wasn't a permanent thing, but it was enough to give you that plateau. So you could have clarity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so, and I don't think you have to be, look, you can, I want to be really clear about when I speak about my experience with medication. I speak about it because when you're dealing with a biochemical condition, or you're hitting bottom, or you're just, you know, hitting your knees with alcoholism, and you're in those acute moments where it's life or death, or where it's, you know, or you're literally being diagnosed with a condition that's a mental illness. Why is that any different than if you were diagnosed with a heart condition and being told to take blood thinners? Wouldn't you just pick up the blood thinner in 2 seconds? You'd be running to the pharmacy. Mm-hmm. When it comes to mental illness, there's such stigma around it. And particularly in the wellness field that I'm in, I was the reason it took me 4 months to actually get a proper diagnosis and get proper medication was because I was so ashamed of it. Mm-hmm. And because I was, you know, I can meditate my way out of this. No freaking way. When you are having a biochemical condition, you can't meditate your way out of it.
Oh, I love hearing that. Yeah, that's such a relief to hear. And so you, for 6 years, you're doing all these practices and still this happens. And then it's in psychotherapy that you have the discovery that it was sexual abuse when you were young?
Yeah. So when I was 36, I had the memory, and now I'm 41. So yeah, it's been almost five and a half years now that I've been doing this work. So, 6 years actually about. And the bigger work, you know, prior to that I was in therapy and I was doing all my spiritual work, but I say that the postpartum anxiety was the gift, because I would never have gotten to the deep therapeutic work I needed to do at the hypervigilant state that I was in, even with like 4 years of EMDR and SE and all the things I was doing. I needed to have some psychiatric support to get me to a new baseline so that I could do the deeper work. And that was where like the real exorcism happened. That's where the real shifts could occur.
With the psychiatrist or the psychologist?
No, with the EMDR and the SE and all the practices I was doing, but it was getting to that baseline of safety.
Okay, I see.
Go deeper.
Okay. Right? So
I just want to be really clear though with people listening. Look, meds are overly prescribed in all areas, whether it's, you know, take a pill because you have acid, you know, you have acid in your stomach. Okay, well, why don't you change your diet, right? So there's overprescription for everything in this country. And I would always recommend that people get a proper diagnosis. I am not a physician. I do not recommend that people just jump on meds, but with a proper diagnosis, and particularly when you're in an acute situation with unresolved trauma or addiction, or even in some forms, dissociated memories or whatever it is that you may be unable to get to a safe enough baseline.
Gabby, was that the first time you felt safe? You know,
my life.
Yeah,
my whole life.
That was it. So that feeling of safety is what ultimately gave you the clarity. So it's like we almost have to get someone to that feeling of safety, right?
Yeah. And there's ways to get to that safety without medication. Like, let me be very clear, right? So there, and by the way, up until the point of getting medicated, I was also getting safer and safer and safer with all the therapy that I was doing. But trauma is a lot to unpack. And so having support in whatever form you can get it is very valuable. And, you know, it's also something that I would highly recommend, that whether it's facing trauma or facing psychiatric issues, it's very valuable to have the right resources.
Can we back up a little bit to see, because I feel like, you know, halfway to the problem is knowing, right? So like when you found out what went on in your childhood at 36, you were halfway there. So it seems like the...
With summer upon us, friends, hair is going to be even more important. Yes, we've got humidity, we've got sun, we've got all kinds of things. And sometimes it's hard to find the right shampoo for your hair. Everyone's hair is so different, and there's no one-size-fits-all solution. That's why I love Way. They have different shampoos depending on your hair type. Want volume? Find hair and conditioner will give you that extra oomph you need. If you need some moisture and a little extra bounce, find your happy medium with medium shampoo and conditioner. And for my peeps with thick hair like me, give your hair the hydration it deserves with thick hair shampoo and conditioner. Plus, you guys already know Way carries some of my favorite hair care products I use all the time, whether it's the leave-in conditioner, which is my go-to, or the hair oil. They give my hair this hydrating refresh all summer long. Wash your way to healthier hair. See what I did there? with shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to TheWay, TheOuai.com. Use the code HEALSQUAD for 15% off your entire purchase. That's TheWay.com, TheOuai.com. Use the code HEALSQUAD. Your hair deserves it.
First order of business is to find out maybe what happened in your life to get to this point of acute worrying. Would you say, is that step one?
Yes and no. First of all, I appreciate that you're really, really intuitive. Yes, it was halfway there. You're right. That was only halfway there. Remembering was only halfway there. Because then you've remembered, okay, so now you know why you've been running. But now what are you going to do to undo the behavioral patterns and the energetic disturbances and the trauma responses? So that's 50%. And I'm still in that 50%. I'm still working it every day like a full-time job. So do you have to remember? Do you have to know exactly what it was? Well, it's helpful because it can help you, one, understand why you act the way you act. Because a lot of people that are walking around with dissociated or unresolved experiences don't even know. They're like, I don't know why I'm so stressed out, or I don't know why I'm.
That's what I see with people. They don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know. When I do, I'm reacting different ways. But now that you're saying this, it's things are being clear to me why I have those feelings. So yeah, no, most people don't. Most of us just go through life and just, we bump our head and we just keep going because we have to. We don't have that like moment of reflection.
And we have shame around it, right? We have shame around history. So we don't, yeah, thank you for your, yeah. You're really good at this, Kev. You're really good connecting to people like that.
Because it's like, I've seen it my whole life and it's crippled people.
Yeah. So the shame around admitting that anything could have been wrong, right? That anything could have been anything but what we paint, the picture we painted for ourselves. There's shame, there's rage, there's impermissible feelings of grief that we are avoiding and running from. And so, well, actually, I'm writing a new book. I'm almost finished with it. And the first chapter, I talk about why we run, recognizing why we run. Because you said that's 50%, right? Recognizing it.
Yeah.
But I do want to be clear that if you have a sense that there's a memory or something that's up for you that you don't know, you don't have to remember things completely in order to fully do the work around them. Because when you do work like somatic experiencing work, that's body work. That's work that would really help you move the energy, not necessarily talk about the experience. Because often what happens is the experience was the inciting incident of the trauma or the feeling that you haven't been able to resolve, but that's gone. But we still relive that every single day because it was never fully processed.
And I think it's a lot of people, it's not the aha moment. Let me be clear. Yes, you remembered an incident that happened that you had blocked out of your mind. I think that for a lot of people, like for me, I don't think there's any of that. But when I pause to reflect, and I have worked with Tammy, and I love her, and we went over certain situations, like the kid in the principal office, certain situations she was asking me about my childhood that really made me hurt my feelings, or bad things that I did that I'm extremely guilty about. Mm-hmm. But again, when you're not pausing to reflect, when you're just going through life, bump your head, take a pill and in the bad way, or have a beer or have some wine or just whatever, work more. You don't, you know, and then all of a sudden the wheels come off the wagon and you go, huh, you know, and that is the gift, you know. And for me, when I went to Tammy, it was looking at my childhood and looking at those things and then saying, oh, wait, that makes sense. Now I understand why I get so upset. I get so stressed or, you know. Yeah. So I think, yeah, I think it is taking a long look at the childhood, but don't think it's, you have to remember, or there's something blocked in your memory. I bet you if you think about the things that really hurt your feelings or the things you're ashamed about or any of those moments, you probably can be a detective and figure it out.
You can be a detective, but it's always really helpful, I think, and I will always recommend this, to do that kind of inner child exploration.
With a therapist.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, I agree. I didn't want to make it seem like, yeah, you could do it on your own. Yeah.
You know, we're all inspectors. But listen, I mean, I write self-help books. So I'm teaching people methods for personal growth and development that they can do in the comfort of their own home without having to pay.
And I love that because a lot of people don't have the money, Gab. You know, when you hear like at least 150 a week or something, it's a lot for somebody. And I recommend investing in yourself, but there are realities. So when you have books like yours, it helps.
listen, if you can afford it, you should do it. If you can't afford it, you should, you know, email my team. I'll send you a book.
Oh, you're an angel. I know you will. And you really will.
I give the world books. But I mean it, because I think that when I say like doing the deeper exploration of these child parts, it can bring up a lot. So you want to be careful, conscious, slow, have a support system of some kind, whether it's a coach or a therapist or a friend or a loved one, or a 12-step program, free.
Oh, right. Tell me about that. I've only thought of that for alcohol. Tell me about a 12-step program.
There's all kinds of 12-step programs. And this is excellent as it relates to people with anxiety disorders, because once again, the same reason that we are anxious is the same reason that we drink, or the same reason that we drug, or whatever it is. So 12-step programs, there's 12-step for overeaters. There's 12-step for marijuana, for cocaine, for narcotics, for debt, for sex and love, for all of it. There is a program. You just Google Overeaters Anonymous in the name of your town, and there will be meetings on Zoom that will pop up.
So a 12 step for whatever addiction that maybe you have, that's a manifestation of whatever's gone on in your past.
And then you're going to ask, you know, well, what about the loved ones, right? What about the caregivers and those who are the loved ones of the addict? Well, there is a program called Al-Anon, which is transformational for people who are the caregivers, the loved ones, the codependent types who feel, you know, I'm not safe unless I'm saving everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. You know, Annie Lamott, the writer, was on the show last week, and her name for that member of the family, which she was, and I was too, and so was Maria, was the flight attendant, the one who brought drinks to mm-hmm. everybody and kept everyone happy and comfortable, mm-hmm. but was obviously taking it all on.
That's a great way of describing that person. Yes, the flight attendant. Yes. And there's a program for that.
That's great.
And you don't have to just be a loved one. I mean, look, you can be a loved one of an alcoholic, but you can also just be a loved one. You can be a codependent flight attendant that just needs help, and you can go to, you qualify for Al-Anon.
Right. If you have like a parent who's a narcissist, or, you know what I mean?
100%.
Right.
100%. Yes. Yes. And so there are a lot of resources. And so I think that, you know, let's unpack this. This is such heavy stuff, but it has to be addressed, because anyone that's lived through COVID has lived through the resurgence of triggers from childhood that have come up for all of us, every single one of us. COVID made us feel out of control. When we feel out of control, we get triggered. When we get triggered, shit comes up, right? So for me, you know, for me, it was control stuff. And for some people, it's food stuff. And for some people, it's just overwhelming anxiety, and they don't know why, but it's the feeling of not being safe. So to unpack this and to demystify a lot of what we're talking about, it's first accepting, recognizing, understanding that we've all experienced some form of suffering from our childhood, a breach in attachment with a family member, maybe a traumatic event, or maybe even simply that we had to walk back into the classroom without our hat on when we had a bad haircut. Whatever it was, those experiences created these energy disturbances within us that have created stress responses. And if we don't resolve the underlying energetic disturbance, we will live in a state of chronic stress. And so that's boiling it all down for you.
So it seems like doing the research with a therapist, or obviously if you can't afford a therapist, it's taking advantage of other resources. And you said acceptance, right, of whatever this is. And then the next thing is moving on to some of those therapies that are like more subconscious.
Yeah, and we can do some work today. I mean, listen, anxiety, stress, these conditions can absolutely be lessened or be even resolved without having to go back to old memories. They can be resolved through practices, much like one that I'll teach today. Okay. I'll give you guys one, through really addressing the nervous system. Because it's not, like I said, it's not about that inciting incident. It's about the energetic disturbance that's being repeated, and it's on a neural loop. It's just like, you know, constant trigger, conditioning, trigger, conditioning. And it just goes in this loop. So if we can stop that truncated energy and allow it to be completely moved through us, that's when we can start to resolve energetically and spiritually. Although, I mean, of course, I wanted people to go as far as they can with their therapeutic practices and whatever books they, I can suggest some books today as well.
But you still have to do it, right? To maintain this, to keep away from the loop?
Me, yeah.
As a first-time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. You know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios. Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Minus the sweet chili.
I've never felt better. I finally feel safe, but it's a daily practice of living and practicing what I preach, because I have to commit to that for myself, for my husband, for my son, and for all of the people that I help and serve. Because if I'm not walking my talk, then I better put down the mic.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I think it's funny. I know a lot of healers that have to do so much work on their own too. You know,
if you're seen as like a self-help or personal growth person or a healer or a doctor, and you're not doing your own work, you better shut the F up and back down. Because, and I'm so serious about that. And I didn't say the F word here because this is not my show, but I want to.
You're okay, Gab.
Yeah, I think you can. Yeah, you can.
Step the F back, because how dare you preach something that you are not living? And look, does it happen all the time? But it's actually not safe, because I feel that whatever it is that you're teaching, you want to be able to embody. And that's why I think teaching from an authentic place is the most valuable thing you can do, because you can say, look, I'm actually in this right now. This is what I'm living right now. That's practicing what you preach. I'm going through a hard time is practicing what you preach, just being forthcoming about it. Look, when I was in that constant state of hypervigilance and living that way and still working as a spiritual teacher, I was extremely authentic about what I was going through. I was very vulnerable about it. And I was also, most importantly, only teaching from where I was. So I wasn't trying to teach people how to change their nervous system when I wasn't able to do that for myself yet. Do you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I'm just bringing that up, because you want to, when you are looking for teachers, whether it be somebody that's writing self-help books or a spiritual teacher that you follow online or a therapist that you follow, you want to make sure that they're walking their talk, and you'll be able to feel it.
I feel like there's, and you know, it's funny, and I love Gabby, and since you've been helping us with the show, I want to have you back, because I feel like this is about worrying and anxiety. And I feel like there's another, there's many episodes with you, but I think I'd love to do another one on burnout.
Yeah.
I feel a lot of people burnt out now too. So Maria's between, it seems like, right, between the high anxiety, but then also a little burnout too, maybe.
Well, she's burned out from the anxiety. Mm-hmm. So the anxiety leaves someone in that constant fight, flight response. And when you're in that, you literally, your candle burns out. You just, you push beyond your nervous systems. You go to what is called the allostatic load. You hit that allostatic load where you're past the stress response. And that's when we start to get sick. That's when we start to break down. And thank God Maria was wise enough to catch herself. And by even texting me, that was an inner spiritual intervention. It's just recognizing I'm about to break. Let me text. And I was joking with her that God was smart enough to tell her to text me, because God knew that I would kick her in the ass.
Amen. Amen. Well, I worry about the friends that don't have the Gabbies. And I hope that there's people who hear this and can think preemptively, maybe they're not to this extreme, but you can go there. You can go to this point of a nervous breakdown or eventually like something even physical with your health. And so I think this is great advice for those people. And then for the other people where it really is extreme, I do get sad because, you know, they don't have a Gabby or even friends that can understand.
Well, I think that they have this show, which is so valuable because there are a lot of resources because of podcasts and YouTube that are life-changing resources that can redirect people's lives when they, my late mentor is Dr. Wayne Dyer. And I remember being in Wayne's audiences like 15 years ago when people used to watch PBS on TV and they would say, or even in 12-step meetings, and people would be like, I was going to, you know, commit suicide this night, but then I turned on the TV and Dr. Wayne Dyer was speaking, you know? And like, I've had moments like that where like Joel Osteen was on, like I was like having a meltdown and like I turned on the TV and Joel's like preaching. I'm like, yes, Joel, you know? Yeah. So that's the same now with these podcasts that God works through the internet to guide you. If you're the breaking point, like in Maria's case, it was Call Gabby. In somebody else's case, it might be listen to that show.
Mm-hmm. And cut the news and cut like anything else that is making you feel worse. You know, even look being on Instagram or Facebook, if that stuff is upsetting you to see other people and what they're doing, or just cut it, you know, I mean, and then move on to what you're saying.
And just trust that, you know, this is like, as much as this is a practical conversation, it's also a spiritual conversation, but to trust that when you are in a crisis, that actually, or a bottoming out, that's the miracle. Mm. Rumi said, the wound is the place where the light enters you. That's the miracle. So that's why I said to Maria last week when we were talking, I said, congratulations, you've hit bottom. What a miracle. Here we are. Let's start over.
You know, I think it's what I always say, Gab, and again, I'm on my regular guy perspective, is if you don't succumb to addiction or, you know, medicating or unethical practices, when you do bottom out, that really is the miracle. That is the where... Yes. All the good things will come and to try. And even for me, I'm always like, I need to remember that for the next time.
The valleys.
Yeah, at the valleys between the, as I think it was Anne Lamott, right?
Nicole Levant yeah.
was saying that it's not glory to glory. It's in between the two glories is the valley. And that's when, and it's hard to remember that, but try to remember that for the next time you have that. Because 100% of the time, what I've seen with people and myself, as long as you're not doing those things I said, you know, great things will come. Like, you know, doors will open, you know, revelations will, all of it, everything you're saying.
Yeah. And if someone's listening right now and they're in a bottom, they're living through a bottom, congratulations. This is the turning point. Often it's only in those moments of crisis that we have the bravery and the willingness to ask for help or to listen to a show like this or to pick up that book or to practice the practice. So I can't emphasize enough the benefit and the value of those valleys. And then here's some great news. Here's some really optimistic news. You have that bottoming out and you start to gain some recovery and you create momentum around that recovery and you start to create more momentum and more momentum. The valleys are less steep, I guess. the fall is less steep, or you come back faster. And it's not that life isn't difficult, it's just that you have a faster comeback rate and you are more resilient. You become more resilient and you intuitively know how to handle situations that you otherwise may not have been able to handle. And you know where to go and you know what to do and you have the resources. And so actually I want to give you guys a tool for anxiety today that will be something that people can return to in this episode over and over and over again. If it's something that they need, it can be an extremely high value to someone in the moment of just extreme anxiety or fear. And this is a practice of self-regulating. It's a practice of really moving from that sympathetic nervous system to a parasympathetic nervous system through what is called tapping. And I believe that you've done some tapping on the show. I think you have, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with Patty Ortner. Pen.
Mm-hmm. Great. Nick's a very close friend of mine. And tapping is emotional freedom technique, otherwise known as tapping. You tap on these different energy meridians, and you guys will follow me. You'll follow Kev. And Kev, you and I'll do it together because I actually want to tap with you, Kevin.
Okay.
But what everyone will do is, because I want to actually help to support you in this moment because you're the carer, right? So let me care for you. And the beauty in this is that everyone that's listening, or when you're not driving, because you can't tap and drive, but when you're not operating machinery and watching or listening, you can tap along with us. And if you're listening, you can always go to the YouTube video and watch me as well, because that can be helpful. And you tap along with us. And what it's called is you borrow the benefits, because you tapping and doing the practice, you borrow the benefits of what Kev and I are going to work on right now.
I love that. Borrow the benefits.
Right. And that's what, you know, anyone that's listening to any of the therapeutic stuff that's happening on this show, they'll be borrowing the benefits. And so
can before we start, I have so many questions. When we go, can you, the sympathetic nervous system to parasympathetic, can you give me that in layman's terms?
Yeah, layman's terms, stressed hyperarousal, you know, fight flight response to relaxation, proper digestion.
Okay.
Calm.
So parasympathetic is maybe a healthy form of sympathy.
Yeah, it almost feels like when you say those two that the sympathetic should be the relaxed state, but it's the opposite. So the sympathetic is like that hyper active, anxious fight flight response, part of the nervous system, and then the parasympathetic nervous system is when we start to regulate that energy and relax and breathe and calm, and you digest properly in that state, you're at ease.
Okay. Thank you.
So let's tap on anxiety, and because I want the whole audience to have this as something that they can return to, but maybe for you, Kev, just if there's anything specific that you're anxious about, we can just, why not have this opportunity for me to support you in this moment as well? Because, you know, why the fuck not?
I mean, thank you. I'm anxious about Maria.
You're anxious about Maria.
Yeah.
Okay, so, from a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being the highest, where are you?
This is really hard because Maria always figures it out. So I'm bad because I always like, Maria will figure it out. Maria will figure out how to get rid of a brain tumor. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's terrible because the mother has told her sister, Maria's got this. So this is poor Maria. So it's hard for me to say that I'm like at a 10 for anxiety because I'm like, Maria's going to figure it out. But I will say that with this, I don't know if Maria can figure it out. So I'll go all in with an 8.
I think you're at an 8. Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. I really appreciate the vulnerability and the honesty with that. Okay, good. So for everybody that's going to tap along with us, decide right now about what you're anxious about. And from a scale of 0 to 10, where are you? So I'm just asking everybody to decide right now. And when we tap on Maria, you guys can tap on, just replace the word Maria with whatever your anxiety of choice may be. Okay, so let's start to tap wherever you are in the world. Tap, remember, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a therapist. I am a self-help book author. And so if this in any way activates or triggers you, I recommend contacting a therapeutic support system. And I can give some resources at the end. And I don't anticipate that this in any way will activate people. It's only going to soothe. Okay, so let's tap on the karate chop point. You can see me, Kev.
So you take it. So for audio listeners, it's right or left hand. Does it matter to make a fist?
Matter what side. It's the side of the hand.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter at all.
So you're making a fist, and then you're taking the other hand and you're tapping. And
yes. Thank you for talking to the audio listeners. Beautiful. And if you also, you know, are confused, you can Google the tapping points and just look them up, and they're right there on the internet. So tapping on the side of the hand, I'm going to have you just repeat after me, Kev, okay?
Okay.
Even though I'm anxious about Maria.
Even though I'm anxious about Maria.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though I'm anxious about Maria.
Even though I'm anxious about Maria.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though I'm anxious about Maria.
Even though I'm anxious about Maria.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
right, let's do the eyebrow point. And it's where the hair of the eyebrow meets the bone right there on the side of the eyebrow. I'm really anxious about Maria. Side of the eye, the temple.
Okay.
And I really have a high level of anxiety. Under the eye. I'm at an eight. Tapping under the nose. Chin. And all that that means to me. Let's tap on the collarbone. You can do two hands or one hand. I'm really anxious about Maria. Under the arm. We're here again. Top of the head. And I don't want it to go back to the way it was. Eyebrow. Side of the eye. I feel really out of control. Under the eye. And I want to try to control it all. Under the nose. And I'm not sleeping well. Chin. I'm trying to hold it all together. Collarbone. I got to hold it all together. Under the arm. I have to hold it together for Maria. Top of the head. I got to hold it together for the parents. Eyebrow. I have to hold it together for the show. Side of the eye. I have to hold it all together. I'm really anxious about Maria. Under the nose, I'm anxious. I feel that anxiety in my chest. Feel it in my body, collarbone. Under the arm, I feel it in my body. All that means to me. Eyebrow point. And I'm even anxious about the anxiety. Side of the eye. Fucking anxious about the anxiety. Under the eye. Because how can I keep it all together if I'm anxious? How can I keep it all together? Chin. How can I keep it all together? Collarbone. I'm anxious about the anxiety. Under the arm. But in this moment, I'm doing something powerful. Top of the head. And I'm brave. I want you to hit the eyebrow again. I'm brave enough to heal. Side of the eye. Because it's actually not just about her healing. Under the eye. It's about mine too. Under the nose. This anxiety is revealing something to me. Chin. This anxiety is revealing something to me. Collarbone. Thank you, anxiety. Under the arm. My God, thank you so much, anxiety. Top of the head. I can really accept that right now. Eyebrow point. I can accept that my anxiety is a teacher. Side of the eye. And in this moment, I can be in acceptance of it. Under the eye. I can be in acceptance that I'm not in control. Under the nose. And I'll do the best I can. And the chin. But I'm not in control. Collarbone. I accept that I'm not in control. Under the arm. And I take a deep breath. Top of the head. Thank you, anxiety.
Thank you, anxiety.
Eyebrow. For revealing to me.
For revealing to me.
Side of the eye. Some more stuff I can heal.
Some more stuff I can heal.
Under the eye. Because that's what I'm here for. Because
that's what I'm here for.
Under the nose. I'm here to get better together.
I'm here to get better together.
And chin, I really mean that. That's what I'm here for.
I really mean that. That's what I'm here for.
That is what I'm here for. Collarbone. That's what I'm here for.
That's what I'm here for.
Under the arms. So I'm at peace with my anxiety in this moment.
So I'm at peace with my anxiety in this moment.
Top of the head. I accept it.
I accept it.
And in eyebrow. In accepting it, I can let it relax.
Accepting it, I can let it relax.
Side of the eye. Let's take a deep breath. Under the eye. I can be present in this moment.
I can be present in this moment.
Under the nose. I can be present in this moment.
I can be present in this moment.
Chin. I'm safe in this moment.
I'm safe in this moment.
Collarbone. I'm safe in this moment.
I'm safe in this moment.
Under the arm. I am safe in this moment.
I am safe in this moment.
Top of the head. I am safe in this moment.
I'm safe in this moment.
Deep breath. Deep breath. You can stop tapping and just take one more deep breath in. Let it go. On a scale of 0 to 10, where are you now, Kev?
I'm a lot better. I'm like, I would say 3.
Yeah. Nice.
Because I feel, everything's connecting to me that, this is leading to something better. So, you know, it's okay.
And physically, how are you feeling? Physically, like energetically?
You know, it's funny. I went on a, this is what I do to deal with my issues. I painted half the upstairs of our house in the last 2 days because I wanted to, if when Maria gets back, I wanted to be, have the house be nice for her, you know? And anyway, I was so exhausted, but after this, I feel energized, but yet relaxed.
That's right. That's right. You can actually feel energized.
And I'm like exhausted now. I haven't slept. My body's beat up. Feel really good.
I actually think that it'd be, I hope this helps you sleep tonight. Tapping can be really beneficial for sleep.
So Gab, this is great, by the way. And I can see how somebody could take the dialogue of what you said and insert their situation in here. And how often would you recommend this?
Well, I have a lot of tapping on my site, on my Instagram channel. Nick Ordner, who you can follow, has tons of tapping. Brad Yates has lots of free tapping on YouTube. He's an excellent resource. If you just Google Brad Yates, tapping for sleep or tapping for anxiety. So there's a lot of EFT tapping videos that are totally free that are out there. I would say people tap multiple times a day. You can tap every morning. You can tap in the afternoons. Tapping addresses the root cause conditions. Tapping addresses the energetic disturbances and resolves them. So, because when we have physical pain, it's not physical pain that's the problem. It's the impermissible rage that's causing it. Or when we have insomnia, it's not that we don't know how to sleep. It's because we have anxiety that's keeping us awake. So, really, we have to heal those root cause conditions in order to heal the anxiety and the disorder of anxiety. And I really am grateful that I was able to share tapping with everybody today. There's one other thing I would like to give you all, which is a hold. It's a heart hold where you put your right hand on your heart and your left hand on your belly.
Okay.
And you just breathe in, inhale deeply and exhale completely. Inhale deeply and exhale completely. And you can just say to yourself, I am safe.
I am safe.
Just breathing and just repeating to yourself silently or out loud, I am safe. Just being in that breath with that hold can be a really beautiful practice for self-regulation in the moments of anxiety.
Yeah. So like in the moment of like a near panic attack or panic attack,
do that. Or you can tap right between your pinky finger and your ring finger. There's that little meaty part right in between the fingers. And that's called the gamut point. And that's the holy shit point. That's the point when like you're having a panic attack, tap right there and just say to yourself, I am safe. Give this to Maria. I am safe. I am safe. I am safe. You guys can see right where I'm tapping.
Yeah. Wow. And you tap with one finger?
Two, one, doesn't matter.
Okay, doesn't matter. Okay.
And when you're tapping on your body, you can tap with two hands. Who cares? No problem.
And yeah, before you leave, because I know you only have a limited amount of time, what books would you recommend?
Yes. Okay. So let's talk about books. All right. If you're feeling like you want to address trauma and some of what we spoke about, there's a gorgeous book called The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van der Kolk, Awakening the Tiger by Peter Levine, or Waking the Tiger. There's anything about internal family systems with Dick Schwartz. He is just IFS therapy is something you could look into, the IFS Institute. I think that somaticexperiencing.org, I think, is the website. We can put all this in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And so these are some of the great resources for anxiety, stress, and trauma. I also, if you have a child that's struggling with anxiety, read any of Dan Siegel's books, mm-hmm. The Whole Brain Child. He's a genius.
Why, again, because I could just talk to you forever. Why am I hearing that more and more children, more of my friends who are parents, one of my cousins, my sisters, were telling me the extreme anxiety they're like seniors, suffers from. But why am I hearing more about these kids crippled with anxiety?
Mirror neurons, they're sponge neurons, right? That's what Dan Siegel calls it, sponge neurons. They're picking up what's being put out. They're alive in a time of crisis. They're picking up the anxiety of their parents. They're picking up the anxieties of the world. They're picking up the anxieties of the... Have you ever sat in a YouTube or TikTok hole? Some of the scary stuff start to see when you start to let that stuff just roll, you know? It's a dark place, the internet. And we're also in a place in the world where there's no way you can be alive without feeling and experiencing the anxiety of the world.
Yeah, and I think a lot of parents, you know, the newer generation of parents is more protective. You know, I grew up in a time where we would ride our bikes everywhere. And today, obviously, a parent would never allow that. I don't think I would allow it either. And that makes sense. It's coming down from the parents and from society. And I think, so one of the answers is Dan Siegel, which is great.
Dan Siegel, if you're a parent struggling with a kid with anything, with discipline, from littles to all the way up to teenagers and 20s, just read Dan Siegel's books. It's really, I've just given you the greatest gift you can possibly imagine.
Okay. And he's been on the show. His episode is amazing.
Yeah, listen to his episode.
Good to know.
So wonderful.
Gabby, you gave us such great gifts. And thank you for being in our lives. Thank you for being our friend. And I know we're going to have you back, whether it's for burnout or something else soon. I know you've been helping us.
I want to do a self-worth episode with you, Gabby.
Oh, boy.
We addressed a lot of the burnout stuff even here. We should do more on it. But this conversation is in the pursuit of prevention of burnout.
Yeah.
Because you can start to address the root cause conditions and start to find these therapeutic practices or even EFT or even just listening to conversations like this, you can be in that practice of prevention.
Good, because I see so many people right now because of COVID. Like I know me and our staff, you know, the few that were like, no, I'm not leaving LA. I'm staying. We're going to do this. Yeah. We just white knuckled it.
Yeah.
And 2 years later, you know, Steven, who's, you know, our producer, I know he's feeling it. I'm feeling it. Jeff Graham, who also was producing. I mean, we just worked harder during pandemic, like 90 hours, and we just wouldn't give up. And I know they felt a lot of burnout. They're feeling it. But I have so many friends that are burnt out right now. So I think if using this for now, but I would love another episode.
I want to acknowledge you, Kev, just publicly, if you don't mind.
Oh, no, I don't mind.
I think you're a really wonderful man.
Oh.
And I think that you are, I got off the phone with you after we spoke about Maria, and I just said, what a lucky woman she is to have this man who isn't just, you know, washing over the problem, but really wanting to get to the root of it, and that is there and such a rock and such a stable force in her life. And I'm just, I want to acknowledge you, and I want to just send a lot of light and love to you and send a lot of supportive energy around you because you deserve it and need it too. Because being the carer can be really a lot, and you're just a beautiful person, and I'm really proud of you. And I just want you to hear that.
Thank you. Oh my God, to hear that from you. That's incredible. It's really wonderful. You know, it's funny, Gab, this is probably another conversation because with your husband too, but as a guy, where I was taught from my father, like, and I keep hearing in my head, like, you take care, you handle it. What the F, Kev? Mm-hmm. You're a man. This is your job. You know what I mean? Like, there is no, you're not supposed, like in my brain, I'm not supposed to do anything but carry. Like, that's supposed to be your, that's what I was taught. You're the guy, handle it.
Also in your, you know, in the makeup of your brain, right? Your male condition is to be the carer, which is beautiful. And that's, and you're doing a great job of that. But also making sure that you're putting your oxygen mask on first. So maybe taking your own session with Tammy or, you know, whoever it is, whatever you you're calling me, whatever it is that you need to do to get the support that you need so that you are, you know, not the flight attendant, but, you know, instead, you know, really oxygen mask on, healthy.
Well, I want to share something. One last thing, Gab, and I think you'll know what all this means, but I think when your partner goes through this and starts to heal, like Maria's already made so many turns of the corner. She's mm-hmm. worked with Tammy. She's worked with you, you know, mm-hmm. since this started. And as I said, I went on this paint marathon, and I will tell you, my default is to kind of just go into build, fix, you know, do mm-hmm. all the, and though I really hate the work, I mean, I hate it, Gabby. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. the reason I'm fast at it and the reason, you know, I'm always the one friends call is because I hate it so much that I'll work really quickly just to get it done. Mm-hmm. But I work really hard when I do it. And because it's simple work, my mind runs away with me. And I'm thinking of all the bad things I did in my life and hating myself. Or I'm thinking of all the mistakes I made in business and hating myself. Or I'm thinking of people that I don't like or that were mean to Maria, and I'm just that I want to kill them. And I will say this time, being doing better together and all the gifts I get from being part of the show the last month, but I feel like because Maria's doing some of the work, I didn't feel any of that. I was actually grateful to my, and had empathy for the enemies. I was empathetic to myself over the experience. I know it just didn't really bother me as much. I was telling Kelsey last night, we had to go to Home Depot to refill last night late. And I was wondering if it was Maria doing the work.
Yeah, baby. This is the perfect way to close. Ready? You are borrowing the benefits.
Ooh. Borrowing the benefits, bitches. Yeah. Yeah. So if the one gets, if you, someone you love, like, starts to get better and you're really connected to them, like, you can benefit too.
Yeah, you guys are really empathically connected. And so the more that she is at a, you know, but the truth is also it's, and so yes, you're borrowing the benefits and you're doing the work. You're doing the work.
Yeah.
Whether you realize it or not.
Boom. Yeah. Gabby Bernstein. How about that? Mm. Wow.
I love you guys. I have a 2-year-old. I'm going to go put
to bed. So, Gabby, will you tell us what your handle is? So, just remind everybody.
It's just at Gabby Bernstein. You can find me at GabbyBernstein.com. And I just love you guys.
We love you too.
Thank you, Gab. Look forward
to more. And, Gab, you know I'm here too for whatever you need. So, you and your hubby.
Listen, you are the, that's your, Kev, I'm here for you.
Well, I have my set of skills, you know, that are in the career business. That's what I'd love to talk to you about.
Because you're
such a gift to the world, Gabby. Like
lighting, you know, business. You guys give me all your lighting techniques. I love you. Thank you. Yes. Have a gorgeous night, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gab.
Bye, Gab. Hi, Kels.
Wow.
Bye, Steven.
Steven the Mew, a man at 30. Wow. Great show.
Oh, gosh.
Really, really. I mean, she's fantastic. And I know a lot of men and women, but especially I just have noticed more women, Kels, suffer from this. And, you know, Kelsey, I feel like you mask yours, but that's... Oof. but you feel it. And I feel like that's what's manifesting in your tummy.
Well, I used to get in college like horrible, like panic attacks, like horrible. Ooh, it makes me cry. She was making me cry. So,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, girls, why don't cry? No, or do it's cry. Okay. It's okay. No, so, why were you crying though?
Because I think that like we just don't talk about it enough.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. Right.
So, like her, and I mean, you even saying that, it's like, thank you, but like I shouldn't mask it, you know? And I think so many of us do.
Yeah.
So, like, it sucked so much for me and I hated it so much that, yeah, I'm masked it and I do still mask it.
Yeah. And you, for you, are you worried? I know you worry so much about your family. You are the flight attendant of that.
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Is it your life, your future?
Maybe. I don't know. I think that that's something I need to look into. But again, it was like, I hated it so much and it's the worst feeling in the world. Like I used to get like I said, like full on panic attacks a lot. So now I'm like, nope, push.
Yeah, well, we don't want you to push it down. Can you want to start tapping? I think that
maybe
exercise.
Maybe I should.
No, I Ooh. Think it's a good idea.
No, I like
why
I'm
not?
I'm only crying because that's my MO. First of all, I'm a Pisces. Hey. Hey, Pisces season.
It's me, Kelsey.
But no, it's just like we don't talk about this kind of stuff enough.
And no, I think you're crying. And again, you've always told me this. Oh, I'm a crier. Like, no, stop. That's not true. What it really is that you are so sensitive and you take on so many of the pain around you and you're always making everyone feel good and feel happy. And, you know, I just know like nobody has that. Nobody has the ability to do that and not feel it. And I feel like you take so much in.
Well,
and that's why.
And I think, too, it's like when you're so focused on everyone else, you can't focus on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's my problem. And it's been.
And by the way, do you think, like Sahara Rose said, do you think that that's the shadow side of it where maybe you do that so you don't have to deal with you?
100%.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I do. And I know, like, I know my stomach is directly, like, related.
Yeah.
I've always known that. And people I've talked to, like whether it's a healer, or it's a John McNutt, who I did a really cool ancestral like clearing thing with him. He's just like, yeah, I don't think you have food like allergies and stuff. I mean, I think it's stress. and he was looking back to my past, like, no, it's stress.
And I think women but are I've so thought that. So gifted with intuition, but then the curse of it is that you guys do pick up so much.
Yeah.
You know, of everything going on in the world. It's like, it's almost like, you know how prey have an instinct, predators have an instinct, but prey do. So like rabbits and things like that, they're constantly afraid of being caught and eaten.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like in their nervous system.
Right.
And
always
I feel
like on that,
as a woman, and I don't want to like further scare anybody, but like as a woman, even like I've had female friends, like it's scary just to go to the supermarket to walk to the And
literally.
How do I argue with that? Because it is scary with all of, you know, with what's out there, you
or
know?
Or if you're not scared, then someone has to remind you that you should be scared.
Oh, God.
That's usually it for me. I'm like, oh, I'm fine. I'll just go for a walk. No, you shouldn't. No, you, and it's like, okay.
So, Stephen, I actually, you've got your stresses and anxiety too, but as we're guys, so ours comes out in a different way. We're angry, we're cranky, whatever, but you have it too, right? I mean, Steven, I know you because you pick up a lot of stuff going on in the world and it really affects you.
I think I distract myself with things that are going on in the world to avoid dealing with the things that are going on in my life. Mm-hmm. I thought what was really interesting with Gabby was hearing about kind of the allostatic load that she talked about. And I've never heard that term before of like, there's a level of stress response that is a breaking point for humans, which I'd never heard about before, but I've experienced it. I think probably twice in my life I've hit that point. And I remember like once when I was 12, I hit that point and that was like a very life defining moment for me. And then I also remember like hitting that point in LA about a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what was really interesting is that she's giving tools to avoid hitting that as opposed to saying like, you know, get to that point, then help yourself. or, you know, she likes to, she's saying that like you need those moments to grow, and it's like a miracle to hit the bottom. But I like that we're also preventing people from getting to
that. And if
bottom.
You, I think you know too, if you're someone who is a chronic worrier, it's gonna have, wow. And Winnie starts growling on that. No, come here. Come here, sweetie.
Winnie's hungry.
But yeah, I think if you are someone who's chronically worrying about things, then it's gonna happen. You know, the wheels are gonna come off the wagon in some way. Mm-hmm. And even if they don't, but they will. It's just hard, you know, for, as I've said before, and I didn't say it to Gabby. I did say it to Gabby when we talked off air, when she first called about Maria. I said, you know, Maria's a Ferrari pulling a tractor trailer full of cement, you know, and if we can get rid of that cement, oh my God, she's going to soar. But she still goes 120, but with the cement. Yeah. So I think that's an analogy I think a lot of people can relate to. And I think this really gave us some great steps. I feel like it is opening the hood and looking at your childhood. Like Stephen, you know, what happened to you at 12? I think that's something you really should examine. And these are the things that keep playing themselves out with us. But we said on the Regular Guy Friday show, we were talking about if business is anticipation, then life is reflection, or should be. So, you know, but we don't, we just kind of keep going and going and going and going and pushing and just have a coffee, have a, mm-hmm. you know, go, pick the kids up, do this, you know, rather than having these moments to pause and reflect. And, you know, even doing the Tony Robbins Business Mastery, Stephen, you were on that, weren't you? Didn't you do that with us? Or was it Jeff?
No, I wasn't able to.
Okay, right. So there was one guy you would have loved, and because he was all about data and measuring. Businesses don't measure, and data and measuring, and, you know, where are our profits? Where are we losing money? And this is why, you know, you won't have success in business, or success is so much harder if you don't measure. And he was all about measuring. Makes perfect sense. I said to Kelsey, my breakthrough was, we don't measure in our personal lives. You know, we don't stop and pause and go, why am I craving this food? Well, why do I have insomnia? Why do I not feel so good when I'm around this person? Why does, when someone comes in the room and yells surprise, I go, I get scared out of my mind. No, the best most people do is say, well, that's a trigger to me. But really, then why is it a trigger? Oh, yeah. And, you know, having that moment of reflection to look at how we grew up and go, oh, and I do feel, and Gabby agreed with me, is that you're halfway there when you realize that. And then the real work begins with the therapies she outlined. And, you know, but it's a lot. And I've said that this is going to, I'd said this before the pandemic, that that mental health and stressors and anxiety was going to really be the thing the 21st century is going to work on and figure out.
Well, there was a stat I pulled, Kev. I think it's on our talking point that was pretty crazy. Let me find it. It's something like 40 million people suffer. Yeah. Anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the United States, affecting 40 million adults in the United States, age 18 and older, or 18.1% of the population every single year. And then kids and children between 13 and 18, it affects 25.1% of them.
And, you know, and it's like,
can we double all that for during COVID?
Right. Yeah. Right.
And I do think the parents, you know, us being so worried about the kids and worried about life and what, you know, and then they go online and they're seeing all the darkness there, not to mention, you know, 9/11, post 9/11, school shootings. Yeah. I mean, I can see really why the kids are.
Well,
the way they are.
And right now it's all they have. A lot of them still aren't going to school still, you know? So it's like,
well, listen, she said borrow. What was that term? Which I loved, borrow. It was about borrowing, you know, borrow the benefits. I will tell you, watch what will happen if you are watching content like the news or even like some of the influencers you follow, if they are, let's say, dark. Maybe they're really funny. I know as my 20th century humor, like I was saying to Kelsey, like it was different for us. The things we found funny were different than what the new generation does. It was, comedy was a lot meaner. And I have found by migrating off a lot of the old people that I would like to listen to. And again, I wish them all well. And a lot of them, some of them are my friends. But turning over to just the wellness, self-help stuff, or lighter fare has made a big, huge difference. Now, can everyone hear Winnie snoring? I'm going to bring the mic over here.
Yeah.
she's crying to be picked up, and then once she picks up, she's unbelievable.
She's out asleep. In 2 seconds.
So on that note, you guys, we'll put up some great clips at Better Together with Maria. It continues to grow. Thank you, Kelsey. Thank you, Stephen, for the work.
Thank you, my beautiful interns who have been helping me too.
Yeah, thank you to them.
Pooja, Natalie. We're gonna
have some great stuff up there. We'll have all the book recommendations and some other great information from Gabby. And thank you for your patience. And I'll probably say this tomorrow too, but you know, I'm really going to ask a favor to you guys. I'm sure you'll all reach out to Maria and offer well wishes. And I appreciate that. I'm going to have a bigger ask. Just hang in with us. Yeah. I'm not Maria. I think Maria is the GOAT when it comes to posting. I that's not even a doubt in my mind. So Stephen and Kelsey and I are going to do our very, very best and to bring you value and to bring people that will either give you life hacks and life-changing tips or make you smile. But at the end of the day, we're not Maria. So the best thing you can do for us is please hang in and please keep downloading and watching on YouTube and telling friends. I don't care if we don't grow in this period, but if we can all stay together as the Heal Squad, it's just a big favor. And I promise Maria will be back. This show is her life. It's her calling. She's never been more career-wise. I don't think there's not even anything close to this that Maria has been excited about. And listen, we don't make money. We don't, you know, so it's not like that, but she's definitely found her purpose. So she will be back. I promise you guys, she will be back. But just please hang in with us. Did I leave anything out?
No, I do want to say, I want to echo Gabby, Kev, because that was a great, great conversation. And it's like, you just jumped right in. You were like, let's do it. So I want to echo her in saying you were fabulous. And I really do think that we will continue to grow through this period. And our Heal Squad's the best. And they're going to support no matter what. And it's not even like they're supporting a pity. Like, it's not pity support, because you were really, really good. And I'm excited for Maria to heal, for us to keep growing.
Yeah, and I want you guys to learn from it too. And even from this, like, I I've always thrived the bad times, not just survived. It was always a big thing. I've always told Stephen, like, how do we thrive? If we survive, good, let's survive. But can we thrive right now? And so whether it was tumor this or tumor that, I always found in some way we would be thriving and growing. So yes, we will absolutely try to thrive and make this grow. And thank you for those kind words, Kelsey. Google Steve Grogan, not the Steve Grogan from the Manson family. Steve Grogan from the New England Patriots. Actually, to pump myself up, there was a little special on this guy, broken down old quarterback who thought his career was over. And they called him on the bench. He was like the wise old man. His like knees were gone. His elbow was gone. He threw these like wobbly passes. He couldn't run anymore. But he was the last quarterback they allowed to call his own plays. So he basically was his own coach. And he ended up getting the team to, he held six straight victories, and the other quarterback got better, came in, and they went to the Super Bowl that year. So,
and Marshawn's gonna help you.
So that's why I'm like, I'm Steve Grogan. I'm gonna be channel my best Steve Grogan.
And I'm Marshawn.
And I've got Marshawn Lynch, my running back. And then who's Steven?
Steven, who do you want to be? Well, really, Kev gave me Marshawn. So.
That we can call to. I'll be mascot.
Okay.
He might be Richard Sherman on defense.
We love Sherman.
Yeah, he might be Richard
Sherman.
Here
so I don't get sued.
He was in everybody's fine face. Right?
Yeah. Fine.
All right, you guys. Go ahead, Kelsey.
No, you do it. Want to do it with me?
No, you do it, honey. Go ahead.
Make good choices. Be nice people. Is it be nice people, make good choices, and be present?
Oh, my goodness. We'll get that right. See you tomorrow, guys.
Oh, and can I quickly say who's tomorrow? Because it's exciting.
Yes.
We have comedians, producers, actors, Sal and Joe from The Impractical Jokers.
Good friends of
and
ours.
And it's my birthday, so you all
birthday!
Better.
I can't wait. But by the way,
so you all have to listen.
We've decided birthday month.
Well, yeah.
Right? So we're going to do, we have some limitations here with Kelsey's diet and where we are right now in our East Coast studios, but we're going to, this weekend we're going to make.
It's going to be great. But you guys have to listen for me, okay?
Yes.
And they're going to be really funny and awesome. Okay, that's all I have to
at
say.
Kelsmeyer?
Kelsmeyer.
At Kelsmeyer 2.
And Stephen Lemieux photo. And Princess Winnie.
And Princess
and
Winnie.
And Better Together.
She's snoring, yeah.
Okay, now I'm done.
Okay, bye guys.
Bye you guys.
Well, that's it for today, Heal Squad. Before I let you go, I want to make sure you don't forget to take care of yourself today. I'll be making sure I'm not forgetting to get outside, do my meditations, and of course, keep myself fueled with some sweet, chili, wonderful pistachios. Wonderful pistachios, as you know, are my go-to when hunger strikes because they're one of the highest protein nuts, providing all 9 essential amino acids, and they're great for on-the-go snacking. So when you're ready to elevate your snacking game, visit wonderfulpistachios.com to grab a bag.